Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Fear is often discussed in the Bible. The word is used in two ways. It can have reference to respect and reverence and dutiful obedience. Solomon said, "Fear God and keep His commandments." It is also used with reference to a basic emotion known to man. It is defined by Webster as a painful emotion marked by alarm and dread and anxious concern. When one is fearful in this sense, he is afraid, he's scared, he's disquieted. He has feelings of insecurity and uncertainty. He lacks confidence and assurance, and he recognizes his need of assistance. It is this second sense upon which our study centers. Fear is an emotion common to people in every generation. It is so widespread and so disturbing that the general reaction to fear is negative, being looked upon as something undesirable and evil. But I want to suggest it is not always that way, as we shall discover. The chemical reaction of the physical body in times of fear is quite interesting. When frightened, the adrenal glands pour adrenaline into the bloodstream profusely, much like putting high-octane gasoline into the fuel line toward an engine. One becomes hyperactive. In a sense, it supercharges a person, making him more active and stimulated, aroused and alert. But sometimes this increase of bodily activity is very noticeable. And other times, however, fear seems to almost paralyze a person to the extent that they can neither move nor speak. Now, there is a type of fear that's called stage fright. Every preacher has experienced it, and some of us always have to contend with it. But even that uncomfortable feeling provides extra power and energy needful for the task. It may even provide more than is needed, causing the hand to tremble and the knees to wobble and the mouth to become dry and possibly the tongue to be extra active. Sometimes the response to fear is very weakening. As one scared man explained, he wanted to run but could not. But he wanted to shout, but he couldn't utter a sound. In his circumstance, most people usually associate fear with that which is at least momentarily unpleasant. And why did God make man in such a way that he should feel fear? It is because all fear is not bad. Indeed, it is very worthwhile and can be used to provide for our safety. It can motivate us to the performance of tasks that otherwise we might not be able to do. Those who train speakers assure us that a certain amount of fear is helpful in speaking. We hear of superhuman deeds done at times of emergencies, such as fires, when people have been known to lift and carry objects from a house that they otherwise were never able to move. Nations are aroused to danger and threat through fear. Preparedness for emergencies can often be urged upon people when motivated by fear. Students may be led to do better preparatory work for their classes when the fear of expulsion or the fear of not getting a job is mentioned to them. It causes them to work harder. So we cannot demean all fear. And fear has been used by the Lord, and often has been a prelude or the beginning steps toward great accomplishments. I want us to consider some Old Testament demonstrations of this. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 12, it tells us that Noah was warned of God and moved with fear. Now certainly Noah had respect for the word of God. But who could doubt that a prediction of the overflowing of the entire world with water was not a frightening consideration? He was motivated to obey in this way. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God when God called him from the burning bush. And because of fear, his sense of personal inadequacy, and offering one excuse after another why he should not do what God called him to do, he was humbled before God. It was the beginning steps of a life of immeasurable service to God. before Esther crowned herself with glory for saving Israel from annihilation at the instigation of Haman, she was possessed with fear. Mordecai told her to make a plea to the king for Israel, and she was afraid to go before the king except at his request. If an appearance displeased him, it could mean death. But we know how she overcame this fear, and she acted. There are several examples of fear before momentous events recorded in the New Testament. Consider the Apostle Peter in Luke chapter 5. Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Some had fished all night and had caught nothing. But when the Lord told them to launch out into the deep, to lower their nets once again, they caught so many fish that the boat began to sink. Peter was astonished, so much so that Jesus had to reassure them by the words, "Fear not." This occurred immediately prior to their leaving all and following Christ. And even earlier in Luke's record, the first chapter, we read where fear came upon Mary, the mother of Jesus, just before the greatest of her works was about to begin. She had been chosen to bear the Son of God into the world in human form, and this announcement struck fear in her heart. And so it was with the Philippian jailer at the earthquake when Paul and Silas were jailed in his prison. The experiences of that evening were frightening to him. Fear played a role in making him receptive to the gospel that was preached to him. He heard, believed, and obeyed to the salvation of his soul. So we cannot discount the value and the contribution that fear is capable of making, the humility it can bring, the inadequacy it can underline, and the realization for help in time of need that it emphasizes. It softens the heart. It makes it pliable. There is absolutely no doubt that the Lord, warning of hell, strikes fear in the heart of any person who hears it and has confidence in the Word of God. The Bible reveals to us death, both physical and spiritual. It tells us of the lake of fire and brimstone, eternal punishment. There is the warning of weeping and gnashing of teeth and separation from God, an eternal abode with the devil and his angels and the outer darkness. Who is so bold as to not have fear when he realizes there is such awaiting those who refuse to obey God? Yes, God uses fear as one of the least of three motives for serving Him. The motive to receive reward is another motive, and the response of love because God loved us is the noblest of the three. But fear does have a role. The Bible is not written to scare people primarily, but this element is definitely therein. Many hardened people, faced with the reality of death and the prospect of an eternal hell, have been moved to open the heart to the presentation of the loving message of salvation. Fear has long served as a vital role in making people realize their inability to meet the great hereafter. It has made people see that they cannot save themselves and turn to seek comfort of salvation that is provided only in Christ. 1 John 4 and verse 18 tells us, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." To consider one phrase, nobody questions that fear hath torment. We've all experienced it. The best and purest motive for serving God is responding to His love by loving Him in return. Such love is exemplified by obedience to His commands, 1 John 5 and verse 3. But many never consider the goodness and love of God until they are shaken by the fear of the consequences of sin. Fear has caused the alien sinner to weep. It's caused the fallen Christian to see the folly of his apostasy. It often provokes people to give the Word of God a fair hearing. And such is the very nature and the purpose, the intent and the design of warnings. This is why we are warned. But as love for God grows, we become less and less fearful. Those who have genuinely matured do not fear death and the judgment, as do others. They know, because of their obedience to His will and His faithfulness to His word, that all is right between them and their Creator and Judge, and they do not fear these unknown situations to the degree that most of us do. As love grows, fear is disposed. One comes so completely to trust in God that he is no longer fearful. We're convinced that any rational and reasonable person that believes the Word of God will have a certain fear of hell. If a person fears hell, that may be well at the very start toward salvation. For the first time in a person's life, he may be willing to listen to the truth regarding himself and God. Jude 23 speaks of saving some with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Many may be won to Christ by gentle persuasion, others by the appeal of love. Jude urged even the use of fear as one means to save souls. If there was a power within me to create sufficient fear in the hearts of others to cause them to seriously consider the condition of their soul before God, you can be sure fear would be one of the instruments to be used. If fear can assist in snatching anyone from the fires of hell, we should use it. If the motive of love and reward will not touch the chords of the heart to favorably respond to God, fear may well do it, and we should use it. And if these appeals will not move people, there's no hope for their souls. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.